D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
There it is. That's what we wait for.
Yes, sir.
Welcome in another week, another edition. The BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub with me. To my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. Tyler Kissner on the board. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know about. So from Rustin to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, and relax, because we're going to do 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the SEC Sports Pub, BS and Beer style. I don't even need to list anymore, man. I look at it, it's like a little cheat sheet.
You almost like you mess yourself up when you
myself with it. Man, listen, the Saints, 21-18, they pull out a victory. It doesn't build confidence.
Hairs on their chinny chin chins.
Yeah, and it's a little uncomfortable. But I think before that, we need to celebrate. There was a retirement in Buffalo. I don't know when. Are they having a parade? Or they're going to have a ceremony? Going to drop the jersey for for Vontae Davis.
Yeah.
He just retired at halftime.
At
halftime.
He said, I had enough.
I'm done.
Not going back.
I got nothing.
I got nothing. I mean, I have never in my life seen anything like that. I think I've seen it a couple of times in, pickup games where a guy got mad and just quit in the middle of the game.
Well, I've actually seen it in games where they did come back and they still had nothing and they just kind of walked around and didn't,
I mean,
but no one actually said, I'm done.
Now, from everything, and the funny thing is, like I say, from what I gathered, but the reality of it is nobody really knew anything. He just, I guess he went and took a shower and was like, I'm not playing at the standard.
He told somebody, and that somebody then told a coach.
Yeah.
And the coach was like, what?
Yeah, he told a teammate, I think, something. And
he sounded like my ex-wife. He said, I've become accustomed to a certain standard, and I'm not getting that standard anymore.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, so I thought he maybe was going to
take him to court.
He's
not giving that standard anymore.
Yeah, so anyway, the standard by which I've become accustomed.
There you go.
And I just walked out. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I feel like – I didn't write it down, but I feel like there was another little piece of NFL news that was just so ridiculous. This one's by far the best one. But I thought there was just another piece of news like, oh, my God.
You mean
God,
all the kickers who got fired after the games on Sunday?
That could be it. I mean.
We never had so many going on so quickly.
I mean, I'll sign that guy and we just put him on like some kind of reserve thing and just let him play for whatever team we playing for. He'd be our MVP. So we have the kid's name is Gonzalez.
Gonzalez, yeah.
Misses two field goals.
Yeah.
Two extra points.
Yeah.
He goes 2 for 4, but.
Well, and the important thing was he'd already missed the one where they could have beaten Pittsburgh.
Right.
The week before.
Yeah.
And he missed a critical one.
He missed
there.
A couple in that game, too.
Yeah, but there was one in
the really critical one, at the end, but it wasn't just one in
so
that game.
So
that
was like,
either.
Okay, you're on a very small little leash here.
Right.
You can't screw up.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so how many – I heard there were like 18 missed field goals over the weekend.
Yes.
And, I mean, bringing it back to the Browns, I mean, is there another team that can figure out how to lose like the Browns? And that's what's so disgusting. If you're a team that actually loses to the Browns, you mad because you didn't play well. I mean, and this team is littered, I'm talking about the Browns, with top 10 draft picks.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like the Bucks. They, one day you worried that they might put it together.
And they have.
But then you sit there and say, how come us? How come they couldn't fumble the snap, when they're trying to run the clock out and we run it back for a touchdown
in
the game?
Well, we understand that as Saints fans.
Well,
older
a long
Saints
time ago.
Fans.
Yeah.
If you've been around long enough as a Saints fan, you remember those days.
Sometimes
yes,
what you
sir,
just
I
sit
do.
There.
Too well, unfortunately.
I feel like I kind of have to,
Yeah.
Because
I really don't empathize with them. Yeah, but I remember being there.
I can recap the 1-15 season.
Of course, the problem
is
Cleveland's been there for 50 years itself. So, yes, I mean, it's not like it's new.
It's the older fans that still think like that. If you're a newer fan, if you're like 30 or under, you don't even know those bad days.
No,
you might have been
no.
Oh, the Dicka years were bad. But after that, so.
Right.
But I tell you what. We got Pick'ems. We got John Hendricks, who's going to come on like he does every week.
Yeah.
We have a little injury segment.
Yeah.
We got Tomas's rant.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to want to miss that.
No, sir.
NFC South report. We have all kinds of stuff. Tomas, Heath, I say we get started with this show.
Let's do it.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30, followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, so we're going to go over real quick the Pick'em. Now we have our Pick'em segment, the MyBookie Pick'em segment. Don't forget, you want to sign up for MyBookie, you tell them BS and Beer is the promo code that you want to use. That's BSN Beer is the promo code. And jump in. Getting our pick segment, we have your two lowest scores drop. So if you want to join, you can still get in and not be behind anybody.
Exactly.
So go onto the Yahoo site. You can send us an email at bsnbeer at iCloud. Several people have emailed me. I've helped them get set up on it. So join it. We have close to 100 people. And it's lots of fun. We talk about it. Matter of fact, Tomas is going to call off a couple of names. And if I do say so myself, I might be one of those names.
No.
Man, I'm in seventh place.
Really?
I'm in seventh place.
Well, let's see. Number one, Saints Craft Toots.
That's my boy.
Number two, Tide, Lord Boudreaux.
That's familiar names.
And Little Dice.
Little Dice.
In third place, Brewjammer, Saint Benny, Bill Gluckman, Cable Tonka, Javin, Dubbit, Speed Bump McGee, 12 and a half PSI.
Well, you only have to go about 10 deep here.
Well,
just
they're all tied
oh,
at
God.
10. And Guatemala Miles picks.
that's like someone doesn't know how to say Onyemata or Kikaha.
Guatemala Miles.
Okay. Right. Good job, by the way.
All right. And then there's Dave.
Yeah, that's me. So I didn't realize I'm really like 26 because
exactly.
there was, but don't feel bad
because you got to scroll way the hell down. I only got like four right this last game.
Ouch.
Man, it was rough. That was a rough, rough out.
I managed a whopping five.
Nice. So I should be proud of my nine. But I think there's some kind of
glitch. I'm 48th out of 96. Where are you there, Heath? I haven't found you.
Well, that's part of the problem with having so many people.
Yeah, we have a lot. 96 people in here.
Yeah, like I used to only finish.
You're 22nd.
Okay.
You're 22nd.
Last year, I finished no less than like 75th.
That's correct.
Because we only had like 78 people.
You're 13th,
right,
though. You should feel pretty good.
No,
you're 13th.
I'm ready. You know how I like to do? I like to lure them into a false sense of security.
Well, I really am because I'm way down.
Way down. Well, we like to, you know, jockey
okay.
for position. And
that's
then at
right.
the end, it's not where you start, it's where you finish.
I'm like the Saints. I'm kind of feeling things out here for the first couple of games.
Hey, don't forget
that went right over.
We have some.
Go ahead.
We have some. I'm not trying to talk about all that. Don't make me call you out on it.
I'm not scared. Go ahead, brother. Give it your best.
We want to get some people to call in the hotline. We have two.
What's the hotline number, Dave?
701-901-1295. We already have two calls. Our call to action last week. We have two emails and our buddy Carnell. I can't wait to read his email.
Oh, all right. Now we're sounding good. All right.
And so if you want to call, that's 701-901-1295. It's cool. Get your call in like after the game. We got several calls, like literally the game finishing Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. I'm getting hotline notifications. So it's people letting us know how they feel and think right
that's
after
good.
The game. That's a great thing. The email address, bsnbeer@icloud.com. Give us a call. Be part of the show. Let us know what you think. And we'll get to it. But, I mean, look, big win. The Saints, we start off with these high expectations, and I'm not saying they're gone yet, but I am saying that you go in with high expectations like Super Bowl talk, and then all of a sudden you're scared to death to lose to the Browns in game two.
Yeah.
So we finally got over that little hump. We got lots to talk about. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast here for the next 2 hours talking Saints football. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Dave, man. As most of you guys know, I'm not a big gambler. It's not so much that I'm opposed to it, I'm just really bad at it. But you know, I still like to put a little coin down just to make the games interesting. So I go to mybookie.com. That's the place I go to put my bets down. These guys, every time I bet, I get paid. Well, that's when I win. But anyway, look, that's why I urge you to go to mybookie.com. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding perks in the business, and it's all for you. Hey, for instance, like me, I love fantasy, man. You go, you can make bets on individual players and whether how many points they'll score that week. Hey, if you're like me and you just want to put a little something on the game just to keep your interest in it, go to mybookie.com. That's where I go. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast Crew, 97.7. We're about to get into that weekly thing that we do. Listen, the big news, the good news, the good, the bad, the ugly. The Saints won. They're at 1-1. And listen, I know it didn't start out the way that we wanted it to, but I really feel like this was an important win. Obviously, the Saints have always seemed to start slow, and they improve as the season goes on. The thing is, we just have to avoid that 0-4 start.
Yeah.
Now, we have a tough test coming into town next week. Or actually, we're going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And Atlanta down like four starters. And yeah, they should be right for the pick, and it just depends on what you think. You know, Carolina beats Dallas in week one. Atlanta beats Carolina in week two, but Carolina lost some guys, important guys.
Yeah.
Right. They're tied in, which is Cam Newton's go-to guy.
Olsen, yeah.
Olsen. They lost him. So I'm still don't quite know exactly who Atlanta is, but I have to believe that we'll be able to score points on them. The problem is, based on what I've seen so far on our defense, but this is right about the time last year where the Saints started finding their groove.
Well, let's hope so. You know, I still think they have scheme problems. But, man, defensive backfield, overall, still not looking so hot.
No, I think, you know? I think if I had to pick out one area where it might be the still a problem, it seems like, Tomas, the defensive backfield is where the problem's at right now.
I go with Heath. I don't think it's the players. I think it's the scheme.
My. All right, well, you know what? It's time. It's time for that segment.
You're a bounty hunter. Man's got to do something for a living these days. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
It's time for Dating the Bad and the Ugly.
It sounds just like it.
Hey, man, we have a tight budget we're working with, all right? I don't want to hear nothing. Do a pretty
he
good
must
job.
Must have had a cold that day. He called in and did the voiceover.
All right, Heath, let's start with you, man. Tell me you're good from the game on Sunday.
I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit here and go with the Williams interception.
Wow. I mean, that's a big play.
Yeah, I mean, that was something we really needed. Glad to see it out of him in particular. Mm-hmm. I've been a little hard on him the first week and, you know.
Well, I think expectations were so high because every report out of training camp was that he was the next amazing safety.
So next year we are I'm going to call it now. We are banning any positive talk of preseason or, you know, of training camp. Training camp beast.
Right.
This guy's having a great camp. Because we hear that every year, and then we find out it doesn't mean squat.
But, I already know that, and I've known it for years, but I still can't help myself.
Well, that's the point.
I mean, I can't. Like, you would think I'm a grown man. I would be able to, like, just know, don't get excited.
Are you a growing man? Is that what you're
talking about? I'm a grown.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
I'm a grown man.
I'm growing, but it's horizontally, but it's still growing.
Exactly. Wait a minute. I don't know if I want to hear about. Hold on.
Keep all the help.
All right. Let's not talk about any of your horizontal growing.
I thought we were talking about those Subway sandwiches again.
The Subway sandwiches, four and
not
a half
really
inches.
Six, but
that's
okay.
Right. That's right.
Okay. You want my good?
I
want
to hear your
well,
good.
Well, he took my good. No.
Okay.
Well, I think everybody's good.
I think that the good in this particular case was the offensive line, but in particular, one guy. Armstead. Because we didn't hear jack about this guy who was
Myles Garrett.
Yeah, all world, and he put on pressure on Roethlisberger all game long, and I didn't hear jack.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Teron Armstead because of the injury history.
Yes, yes, that's what I'm talking about. He doesn't played the whole game.
He doesn't shut. Well, yeah, but I mean, he just doesn't get the notoriety that he should because of the injuries. But when he's on the field, I guarantee you, everybody in the NFL, defensive ends across the league, say, "Doggone, I'd rather not have to go against him."
Yeah. And by the way, on one play, the safety came up.
Oh, I saw that.
Did you see that play?
I saw that on Twitter. Do not bring your safety this close to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes up and he just grabs the guy, like, you know, a good block in the chest plate, and then he just takes him, it's like, yeah, and just throws him down, you know, and it's like,
boom.
And, oh, man, I kind of felt bad for the guy, man.
He's like, well, there you go.
And this will segue into my good.
All right, what's your good, Dan?
My good, hang on, it's a double-edged. You know, I mean, you know, he's so smooth. And yes, I feel like it's almost like Breeze. Every week he could probably end up being.
No need to ask, he's a smooth operator.
That's right, Kamara. I mean, the guy is unbelievable. His ability to avoid getting hit, solid. His ability to spin and his
sideways.
Strength.
Keep his balance.
And keep his balance and his strength to explode. Like, there was one particular play. Where, I mean, there's so much action, it would take me 15 minutes to describe it. But, you know, he goes through, he gets hit, he spins, then another guy hits him, and then he still is kind of going backwards.
He's going backwards in an almost sitting position.
Yeah, and
then
explodes.
He spins another half a turn, and he's sideways. And then he still pushes forward.
For a first down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, like, unbelievable. It like, you know, those big 40-yard runs where you make a couple of guys miss, that's one thing. But that play right there was maybe an 8-yard run.
Yeah.
6-yard run, something like that. And it's just like your
jaw drops.
Well,
the play that
drops.
Got called back where he made it right to the edge of the corner. You could see no linebacker had the speed to catch him.
Right. Yeah. It was too easy.
Yeah, and I was just flip. Like, well, I'm just coasting in.
A little flip toss there.
Unfortunately, got called for holding by two players.
two players. Yeah, well, you know, they wouldn't have caught him anyway. I don't know why they held, you know.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But they did. But really, I was going to say the segue is that you have a young rookie, Davenport. We gave up 2 first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
You know what? I hate when people do that, and I just did it myself. Like, it doesn't matter what we gave up for him. It's not his fault that the team decided to give up 2 draft picks. But because of that, then the next thing we're hearing is, well, he's raw, and the expectations just went way down. And
he played well, though.
And he did. Matter of fact, I have the PFF results.
Yeah.
He ended up – let me get back to the – as it's related to Armstead. All summer long, he's going up against Armstead, and – taking a whooping and probably lost all his dignity, self-esteem, pride, everything. And then he gets in the game and he's like, well, wait, this isn't as hard as practice was because he's not going up against Armstead.
Yeah.
But here is the overall grades on the Saints offense, the highest ranked players on offense. Let me get to defense because that's what we're talking about. But where are we at? Defense. Okay, linebacker, DeMario Davis. This is good to know.
9 hit.
86.6.
Yeah.
Marcus Williams, 86.0.
Yeah.
Defensive end Marcus Davenport with an 85.8. Mm. Marshawn Lattimore, and this is reassuring, right, after his first week. Mm-hmm. He gave up some plays this week too, but at least he wasn't getting destroyed.
Scheme.
81.8. And then A.J. Klein.
Also had 9 tackles.
Yeah, had 9 tackles, and I think a lot of people are ready to write him off and send him packing. Like, from the beginning of the
and
game.
I don't know why. I still don't understand why.
I think a lot of people are they're not happy with them. I mean, we spent a lot of money.
He
was supposed to be our prize free agent.
Yeah, I understand that. He also got hurt.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, it's like I don't really know what people expected. He played well behind Kuechly. We signed him. He came in. I thought he was playing pretty well. He might have been I'm not claiming he's the greatest linebacker in the league and everything. But I thought the guy played pretty well, and then he got hurt. Yep. And this is the first time we've seen him in a while. And it was like he was the forgotten man, almost even in you know, got Teo in the middle all throughout the preseason and training camp and everything, and I never could figure it out. But I'm not surprised to see Klein play that way.
Well, he ended up with a good grade. And at the beginning of the game, I mean, he was just like he probably made 3 of the first 4 tackles in the game. It was like the first one is like, oh, look at Klein. It's nice to see him doing something. Then he continues. And, you know, while we're on this linebacker discussion, because you're talking about, am I right here, 2 of our highest ranked players, rated players, were
Davis
linebackers.
And Klein. Yeah, that's right.
And the thing about it is the Saints have been missing match. How you say that?
Mixing
and matching all these different linebackers.
You might have had it right the first time. No, mismatching.
Yeah, mismatching. Yes. That's what I meant. That's what I meant. So I slip of the tongue there. And now we have all these different linebackers that we were sitting there complaining. It's like, man, can you put the guy who we signed to be the middle linebacker?
He still wasn't the middle linebacker.
The guy with the skill set to be a weak side, let's put him on the weak side. And Klein's playing strong side. But there were times in the game where we were like, what are they doing here? Like, the way they were lined up is who's playing strong
but,
side
But
here?
Klein and Davis oftentimes were in there making these tackles when Teo was in the middle. So it wasn't like they were playing a 5-2 or a 3-2-5. They weren't playing some – they were playing 4-3.
Right.
So they still made tackles but still playing on the outsides. They didn't make tackles from the middle linebacker. That was still Teo.
Right.
Well, yeah, not in the beginning, though. Klein opened that middle.
Yeah, but where he was making his real impact was when he was on the outside.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the offensive grades from PFF. And, okay. And I think it's so funny that I spend so much time. I really, although talking to people in the industry and
pretty
stuff,
effing frivolous, but
go ahead. They've improved the staffing. When it started, it was just basically anybody they could get to sign up, and they would give them like a little – yeah. You know, like, here's how we
crash
do it.
Crash course. Here you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, this is how we do it. But I guess that it's been bought out by, what is that kid's, the Collinsworth maybe? Is that right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Now they've upgraded all the actual scouts into people who are more knowledgeable. And it's become, well, that's what they say.
Maybe.
But as soon as I see
we
it,
don't really know.
Depending on I agree or disagree with what they say, that's how much credibility they have.
On
with
the
me.
Weeks that they tell us that Lattimore is getting back to Lattimore and all, we're going to use the stats. On the other weeks, maybe not so much.
Well, anyway, it's interesting, right? So here we go. Three of our top five offensive players rankings are offensive linemen. Larry Warford, 95.9.
Right.
Ramchek. 89, and show you, man, 95. That's dominant.
Yeah.
81.9, Ryan Ramchek.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas, 75.9.
Yeah.
Teron Armstead, 74.1. Now, keep in mind, while that's a good score, it's not a phenomenal score, but he was going up against
Miles Garrett, who I never heard his name called for a sack.
He did make one play.
Did he?
And I'm not sure if it was a sack. I just recall that he made one play in the entire game.
I don't remember hearing his name.
And then Max Unger, which this surprises me because
he was getting eaten up.
Yeah, I watched the film. So this starts making me question this again. I watched the film just maybe a couple hours before we came on air here, and he got eaten up. On like three different occasions, giving up sacks. Yeah. So this wasn't
because
like,
the
oh, we got
really
beaten.
Come from the middle.
Yeah. And so I feel like, and I've heard others say it, so it kind of maybe validates my opinion.
Today I saw about it.
He and so there you go. We have a guy who's ranked as one of our top five players, and I don't think he played very well. So take it with a grain of salt. Take it with a grain of salt. But I still would like to go back to Marcus Davenport relative to our offensive side. Where, aside from Larry Wolford, who is 95.5, I mean, you're talking about Davenport, 85.8, almost 86. The guy is making plays. I'm watching him. I keep hearing criticism about him against the run. And I'm sure that if I really just sat there and watched him on every play, but I just don't break down the film for 2 or 3 hours.
Well, part
of
that probably still goes back to people incorrectly. Throwing that off on him when Fitzpatrick ran for that first down at the end of the game in Tampa.
Right, and it was a stunt.
Okay, and there was a stunt going on, and it wasn't as straightforward as look. But right away, everybody said, oh, Davenport's the one that didn't lost containment.
I'll be the first one to say that. And matter of fact, while I'm apologizing for me seeing things, when I watch the game, I see things out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, wait, one of the things is it seemed like Coach Payton was getting on our tight end.
Yeah.
Watson
for the
running,
the,
doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, and I said, wait, I thought he stopped and then took off again. That's why I watched it. He never stopped.
No.
He ran.
It
he
was
ran
a
up
rare missed throw by Drew Brees.
Right. But for whatever
Drew
reason,
Drew Brees said, "I rushed it." In the interview, he said he rushed.
But not only was he on a sideline talking to Watson after that play, Payton has since said that they got to get better play out of the tight end position.
Yep. I mean, he was obviously upset with Watson.
But he might not have been about that play. He might have been about something else.
Right. I mean, it could be, but it could have been something. Or you know how Watson? He's kind of one of them. gangster type players, man. He's, you know, he's probably in there doing something, telling coach off and saying inappropriate things.
Yeah, you know how rowdy those annual man of the year candidate guys are. You know, always causing some kind of problem.
Yeah, tucking in some of his gold chains.
You know, talking about he probably went up to coach and like, I need a new contract. You know, or something. Right. Rubbed them the wrong way. That has to be it. But I like that. You know how those, those man of the year candidates, they're always guys, man. Always causing problems.
You gotta look out for them.
Yeah. So, all right. So, we already went over the picks. We playing in this fantasy, and
we gave the numbers of the picks, and we're still gonna make our picks later. But.
Okay. Well, you know what? We got to make our picks at the MyBookie picks at the in the last segment.
That's what I'm saying.
But we do the fantasy. I think at some point, and I don't think we really prepared for this, but I think at some point we have to. We're gonna have to go over the fantasy stuff as well. Let me get this email real quick.
Go ahead.
I agree with Tomas right off the bat.
Good email.
Mark Ingram really hurt the team by getting himself suspended. Do y'all
think today
that him missing the first four games will help him get a better contract?
No,
the Saints miss him, and he said, I think they should. If they don't, I'm going to airline drive and burn it down. Man, I love this podcast, Cornell. Now, that's how you do an email.
Burn it down.
That's how we do it.
Yeah. So, well, Cornell, go ahead and get your gas and your matches ready.
That's right, brother.
Because not only is he not going to get a better contract from the Saints, I don't think he's going to get any contract from the Saints.
We have struggled running the ball outside of Kamara. And I was saying the first half we struggled with Kamara. You don't think that they're not sitting there like, man, boy, we may be underestimated?
Well, I'm kind of surprised to see some of the scores of the offensive linemen because I didn't think they opened
the
holes.
Easy, you have to cut that off, brother. The music's playing. Oh, wait, okay. Cut them off.
You can finish your thought. Hey, it's the BS and Beer Podcast, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We come back. We got some John Hendricks for you, Canal Street Chronicles.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Now back to your two yats and a coonass.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Welcome in every week, John J. Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles. John, I tell you what, we came away with a win, and a win is a win, and people don't appreciate how difficult it is to just win games in the NFL. Matter of fact, ask the Browns. But the Saints come up with a 21-18 victory over the Cleveland Browns, and I got to tell you, man, it feels a little bit. It wasn't very reassuring.
But yeah, I mean, look, I think it was a great first step. I mean, look, at 18-point fourth quarter—that's great and all. You know, I think, you know, we've seen it time after time, year after year. I think going back to 2012 that. You know, for whatever reason, when this offense can't do anything, the defense steps up. Or when the defense can't do anything, the offense steps up. And they never just seem to be able to get on that same page. But, look, you got to give them some credit. I think the defense was much more prepared this game. I thought they were, you know, just overall a lot better prepared. They were more aggressive. I mean, look, I think when it's all said and done, this performance, obviously, I think the general mood of the locker room was, hey, we got the win, but we know we got a lot of work to do. And obviously, Sean Payton was not happy with the turnovers. You know, those are the type of things that are going to kill you and hurt you when it counts the most.
Absolutely. And we're looking at Michael Thomas, who's I can't remember. I didn't write it down. The biggest two-game stretch since, like, the 50s in receptions. But he's had a couple of fumbling issues, and, you know, at some point, man, the guy's going to have to figure it out that you just maybe sometimes less is more and you cover it up and get down.
Exactly. And look, I mean, he's a playmaker. He's trying to make something happen. But obviously in situations like that, when you look at your turnovers, it comes from your running back and you got your wide receivers that are coughing up the ball. That's just not a good look, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, again, after the game, a lot of credit there for being resilient, but at the same time, like Sean said, it's too many in this particular league. And, you know, you look at the playoffs, you look at Atlanta coming up, and to see all the division opponents and such, and that's just, you can't expect to play your best football and not win the turnover margin.
Absolutely. Now, Cleveland, and the thing about it is, man, they gave us some gifts, and this is why I alluded to that when I first introduced you. You want to talk about figuring out how hard it is to win in this league, because in many ways, they outplayed the Saints, missed two field goals and two extra points. None more critical than right there at the end of the game.
Yeah, look, I think I don't ever remember a time, especially in the Superdome, when the opposing kicker comes in and misses that many times. I mean, look, you know, it's one thing to miss. Obviously, it was wide left, wide right on the other one, but the extra points are just so mind-boggling. And look, I mean, even when they tied the game, I was just, you know, everybody's thinking, it's like, oh, great. And, you know, here comes Drew Brees having to lead and come from behind again type thing, and he misses it. It's just insane to see that happen in the NFL. Clearly an epidemic, because I think there was 19 missed kicks on Sunday. So look, it's hard, but the life of a kicker is rough. But you know, fortunate breaks the Saints got.
Well, man,
all game.
I didn't even know, you just threw out a stat there. I didn't know 19 missed kicks over the course of the weekend.
It's pretty rough.
I mean,
a lot of people. It was Minnesota missing kicks. You know, Lutz missed a kick. I mean, it was just all over the place. People missing kicks left and right.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about something positive. We have Klein, one of our linebackers, where there's been a lot of criticism about the linebacker play. He's had one of the best games he had as a Saint. I think he had 9 tackles. He made a bunch of plays in the running game. It was good to see that you have one of these linebackers stepping up.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, Klein led all the linebackers in snaps. You know, Davis, I think he only played in 66% of the snaps. He also tied for most tackles. I mean, he was a menace on the field. But look, AJ Klein's a guy that a lot of people are talking about, you know, free agent bust after the first year, and he just doesn't know what to do type thing is how fans felt. And he needed a game like that because, I mean, he really showed off the strength and why this team went out and got him in the first place. And look, if they can get consistent play from him and Mance Iteo, I don't worry about DeMario Davis because he showed us, you know, on Sunday why they acquired him. But look, I feel good about that and the good steps. I thought the front seven looks pretty good for the most part.
Well, yeah, the defensive line, we're not getting the pressure that I thought. You know, I went to the game or into the season actually, really pounding the drum for Onyemata and Rankins, and I, you know, the pass rush just hasn't seemed to be there early on in the season. And the guy that's surprising me, Marcus Davenport. Now, I want to say that a lot of that has to do with the fact that my expectations are so low all off season. You know, it's how that he is raw and he comes from a small school, and you know, it's the development's not there, but he continues to make these flash plays that I'm not seeing from anybody else. So it's very encouraging.
Yeah, I really thought Davenport had a great game. I thought Taylor Stallworth had a couple of good things show from him. You know, look, they get their first 3 sacks of the season yesterday. Cam Jordan and Alex Okafor met at the quarterback. And, you know, I think it was on a play where they only rushed 3, which was the crazy part. But, look, I feel that Davenport, I think he only logged 24 snaps, if I'm not mistaken, or 23, something on that. But, look, I think they're going to get to the point where they start using him more. I think he's a menace. It just shows up on the tape time after time. Probably still has a lot of refinement to do in his technique and maybe a couple of other things here and there. But, look, I think, you know, again, you've got 2 games down now, and you got to start learning more and putting in more hard work to make sure that you can last this whole 16-game season and hopefully the playoffs. And, you know, look, Atlanta's going to be a big test for this team, and I would hopefully think that they're going to try to get a lot better pass rush going against them.
Yeah, I would imagine they're going to have to do that. And the same as far as Davenport, from my perspective, like it may not show up in the sack totals, but his athleticism is definitely showing up so far in 2 games in his just being disruptive. Now, speaking of being disruptive, let's talk a little bit about maybe everybody's favorite subject, Taysom Hill. So the Saints, for the 2nd week in a row, bring Taysom Hill in a situation to run the Wildcat around the goal line. I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. One part of it makes me excited. The other part, I'm like, wait, you're taking a Hall of Fame quarterback out from under center. So give me some thoughts on that.
Well, look, it clearly had the Browns confused because they had to burn a timeout.
But, right.
You know, at first they didn't leave. They didn't have Drew Brees covered on the side. That was interesting enough. But they used him at kick returner yesterday, which is crazy because he asked Sean after the game, and he says, well, it's something we just tried and worked on this week, and it paid off because, you know, all you're thinking is, man, let's just see what he's got because he's got good speed, and he finally gets a return, a 47-yard kick return. And, look, I mean, it's just unheralded to see a a quarterback, a backup quarterback, plays so many different roles for a team. I mean, it's just crazy. But look, I think with the way Greg Williams was calling the game against the Drew Brees and company, they had to mix it up a little bit. And I thought it would have been the right call. And of course, hindsight, 2020. So if they didn't make it, then it would have been a bad call. But I thought it was the right one at the time.
Absolutely. And then we didn't even bring up the fact that late in the game, because of Tommy Lee Lewis's injury, they put him in as a kick returner. The first one, I think everyone, it was kind of reminded me back in the Reggie Bush days when he was returning punts. Just everybody held their breath thinking something exciting was going to happen. Now, Taysom Hill doesn't have the resume Reggie Bush had, but he's in the game. The ball's kicked out of the end zone, and my phone blows up from like 20 different people expressing disappointment in the fact that he didn't get to return the ball. So then he gets an actual return, and how far did he bring it out? I mean, I thought he was going to break it.
Yeah, it was a 47-yard kick return. I mean, he brought it out. It was a couple yards deep in the end zone, and, man, he just turned on the Jets, and I guess the Browns just weren't expecting it and such. But, I mean, he was close to breaking that entire thing, and I'm telling you, that play in itself is what got the Superdome turned around and kind of back into the game, because before then, you know, just the 3 points on the board, it's a pretty rough feeling around the Dome. I mean, a lot of boos, a lot of things that were going down. So, look, this is a fan base that's expecting their team to win and do well at home, and good for them, they finally got it.
Well, and that's true, and the fans, I think, are suffering from the same thing that, you know, I'm kind of feeling and I'm kind of talking about, is the fact that the expectations for this team and surrounding this team are so high, and when you go into the season with what looks to be two powder puffs, although Tampa Bay seems to not be any sort of powder puff, they seem to be for real, at least until Fitzpatrick comes back down to earth. Having said that, the expectations going in were that we had two easy wins, and they've been anything but easy.
Exactly, and that's just the nature of the NFL. I mean, we talked about last week, in any given Sunday, something crazy can happen. And, you know, you look back to the course of history on the Saints, they've been on both sides of that equation. So, look, I mean, you know, the Bucs just kind of stomping the Eagles, if you will,
sure,
to prove that they weren't just a week one fluke. And, you know, maybe it makes fans feel a little bit better about the loss.
Right.
But look, I mean, you saw a lot of teams that just kind of just ran flat. Pittsburgh struggling, they're one of them. I mean, just the Raiders didn't come out like they were supposed to. The Giants looking flat. The Lions looking flat. I mean, they're just different ones that are just not playing up to expectations right now. And, you know, it shows.
All right, so we got about a minute. John, you brought up Atlanta. We'll be playing them next week. They lost three starters in week one. Thought that they might be a cooked goose. They come out and win against Carolina. John, what are your thoughts on this Sunday's game against the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, look, obviously it's Atlanta, tough opponent. You know, they split last year. I would hope the Saints come back and a little bit more prepared, because – look, I think Atlanta sluggishly started yesterday against Carolina, but they were able to rebound in a big way. Matt Ryan suddenly looked more like an elite quarterback than he has been. So, look, as long as they prepare and they're taking it seriously and look at kind of the film like last year, I think they should come out with a win. But obviously, I know this is a division matchup. It's going to be a close one, and it's going to come down to the wire.
Hey, as usual, John J. Hendricks of the Canal Street Chronicles. You can find him. I keep throwing the J in there, John, but that's how you find him on Twitter, is John J. Hendricks, like the guitar player. Look him up. Always a good read. John, thank you so much for visiting with us again this week. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, bud. Thanks for having me.
All right, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Laundromat Department. Now back to more BS and Beer Podcast. Remember our motto in Boudreaux Parish: we will find you and we will tase you.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Listen, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. The Saints they come out of the game essentially injury-free. There were some scares. We had Pete went down with what was ankle injury.
Ankle, yeah.
Worried me a bit because he did break his he broke his fibula, or was it his flactoid bone in his lower leg?
Something to do his groin.
His groin. Okay. Dang, so and I was worried that
he
maybe
broke his groin bone.
Groin. That could be a problem.
Yeah, that could be a real problem.
Yeah, that can be a problem.
I heard that some people's curved afterwards, you know, but go ahead.
All right.
Oh, the hell.
All right. So Pete goes down. They tape his ankle. He's back in the game. Tomas, you mentioned a little bit about Kamara.
Yeah. At one part in the game, he seemed to be not walking quite as gingerly back to the huddle. And then after that, he went to the sideline, and he sort of bent over, and one of the trainers came over to talk to him, and he was like, you know. So I think
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit when he's talking about this.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's upsetting me.
But the good news is he came back and he played. Yeah, so it can't be that bad. Maybe somebody stepped on his foot. I mean, it could have been any little incidental thing, you know. So
yeah. All right. Well, and there were maybe, you know, I thought I heard a couple other bumps and bruises, but nothing really major. Now, for Atlanta, exactly. Yeah. Knocking on wood here. Atlanta, they're going into the game. They're going to be missing three, if not four. I heard a fourth. You have the linebacker.
Jones.
Yeah. You have the safety.
Neal.
And then who else was the third? Was it a defender? And then the running back. One of their two running backs.
Oh, yeah, right. Freeman.
Freeman may not play in the game.
Right, didn't play last week. So,
you know, man, you're talking about, like, getting banged up. And it's like you're big-time players.
Yeah,
so,
but they still
manage. Again, at this point, what's crazy is you don't know who the teams are yet. Like the Saints, I believe, just based on history, the Saints are just slow starters. They improve as the season goes on. Some people speculate that the way that they conduct training camp and they're not very physical in camp, that there's an acclimation period. And, you know, I think there's validity to that. Having said that, you don't know who's going to show up. So is Atlanta – again, Carolina beat Dallas in the first week.
Right.
Atlanta
– at home.
At home.
And Dallas is not great.
No, and Dallas – and I agree with that. But, you know, are they great or are they not great? Yeah. You know, is their offensive line what we have come to expect from them?
No, it's not anymore.
You know, so then you have Atlanta. And Atlanta – didn't they lose their season opener?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, so they lost their season opener. And then they come in and you think, I wonder what's going to happen. The injuries, they beat Carolina. So now you just who is the Falcons? Who are they? Are they the team that can? They're going to be able to score points in the way that our defense has struggled.
Yeah,
especially in the defensive backfield, it makes me a bit nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. The weird thing is at this point is to be talking about, man, everybody, you know, we all got to look out for Tampa.
Right.
You know, who's Atlanta, who's Carolina right now? Tampa's the only one rolling over people. Yeah.
That team is very close and very loose. You saw the Kirkpatrick's interview after the game.
Yeah.
He came out wearing a big eagle chain, and he had this little tight black. It wasn't his clothes.
Yeah.
You know who he's trying to imitate, right? The MMA fighter.
Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor.
Did you see? Did you see the little clip of him? Him and the other guy during the game
rubbing their chin beards together. Yeah, that was a little like weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
But that's what I'm telling you. They're playing really loose, and that's what you have to be careful of. When a team feels that confident, and they're playing that loose, you got to be careful. Yeah. Now, of course, it could all come to an end once Crab Legs comes back.
Right.
Oh, Crab Legs not getting back on the field if Fitzpatrick keeps playing the way he's playing.
You never know what's going to happen.
It's a 3-game suspension. But listen, if you want to talk about, you know, who's the best-looking team at this point? I mean, Tampa Bay's beat a New Orleans team that, you know, listen, most everybody's picking them to be a contender, a Super Bowl contender, then beat last year's champion. I mean, you talking about strength of schedule. The Saints go into it looking at it like, man, we got our two cream puffs early so we can like kind of sharpen up, you know, look some practice games.
Yeah.
And then you think Tampa Bay fans are over there doing – man, you know, like how are we going to overcome this 0-2 start to try to make some progress? And they were like world beaters.
Yeah.
And we looked up and Tampa Bay's winning by 7, and there's 4 seconds ran off the clock. We're like, it had to be a kick return. What happened? Nope. There's another long
yard pass.
Yep.
It's just like.
And the second one was the same thing. The next score, 14-0. It was another big long
pass. Yeah, to a tight end.
Yeah.
So yeah, so all kinds of stuff. Matter of fact, another thing that we should touch on real quick is for the second time in 2 weeks, Taysom Hill comes off the bench to send Drew Brees to wide receiver so that he could run a play. Now, what ended up happening was
they
a false
call a timeout.
Start. Timeout. That's right. So they call a timeout, and it was right before the snap. So Taysom Hill kind of takes off to the right, and I'm just like, what is he about to do? I just like, it's like a novel, you know. It's like, oh, right. What's going to happen? I can't go to sleep yet until I read one more, you know, chapter or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, and then okay, so then later on, the guy's lining up as the kick returner. Yeah. Now, the problem is
several times.
The problem is you have, well, they keep kicking the ball out of, and right. My phone, as soon as the ball goes out of the end zone, blows up, and I look up, and it's like 5 Twitter notifications, all like, oh, dang, oh.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like.
Everybody's waiting to see it, yeah.
Okay, so fast forward to, I think, the third quarter. This is my notes. Let's see, the third quarter. Yeah, third quarter.
Seven yards deep.
7 yards deep, he's like, I'm taking it out.
Yep.
49-yard return. Yeah. And I mean, a shoestring tackle away.
One tackle away from going all
from
the way.
Breaking it. Yeah.
Can you imagine what would have happened in that dome?
That's the next thing I was going to say.
Oh, my God.
This guy has turned himself into an absolute fan favorite hero. Yeah. Some of those terms.
Legend.
Like, legend.
Yeah. Legend.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's Yana. A beast, Yana. He's a beast.
That's right.
I don't have a
I mean, he's doing everything. Dang it. He's doing everything. I mean, the guy wants to be on the field. Everywhere they're putting him, he's having success.
Exactly.
I mean,
and they're interviewing him afterwards, and Morstead walks next to the interviewer and goes, that's Jim Thorpe.
The Jim Thorpe.
Yeah.
You know, because you remember Thorpe, quarterback, running back, wide receiver,
he
played everything.
Yeah,
you know?
He did everything.
Well, here's the thing. Now, let's get serious for a minute, because you know how I like to be serious.
All right, be serious now, Dave.
I mean, he's a playmaker. He's a beast, Yana. Okay. Drew Brees right now. Only completing 80% of his passes. So I'm wondering, you know, if it drops, if he's gets into the 78, 76, they got to start thinking about bringing Hill in if Brees can't produce.
I tell you what.
I'm worried if I'm Teddy Bridgewater.
I tell you what. They struggling to find a replacement for Ingram for these next two games.
Now, they will line him up at running back. They will do it. I guarantee you. Because here's the other thing. You don't believe for a second that Peyton doesn't sit on the sideline and do.
Yeah.
I'm going to look like a
genius.
Did you
see? Okay, I'm going to tell you. In the Chicago game, okay, they pulled a playoff that was fantastic where they faked it to the running back, faked the pitch, and then he pitched it forward to the tight end coming across.
Yes, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that play, I was like, I'm betting you dollars to donut holes that'll be in the Saints playbook.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not already. But at some point.
And it could be number 7.
Every time that something like this happens with Taysom Hill, Peyton is over there saying, I can make myself a genius.
Yeah.
Somehow I can make myself look and like it's like a toy and he can't put it down and I'm gonna put him at running back. I guarantee you we will see him at running back.
At some
point in the season.
Sure.
So and if nothing else, maybe some wide receiver. I'm not the problem is there's a lot more to being a wide receiver than just run out there.
Maybe we'll go into a wishbone, you know, with Kamara.
Here we go.
You have to think, you know, wild.
And what they do is put Brees like at the left wing. You have Ingram and Kamara.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill can certainly come
in and run it back. It's no different than a design run play for him out of the shotgun or something.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's really not any different.
Okay. So if not that I ever think that would happen, but I was sitting here shaking my head like, you silly. And I'm just thinking how exciting that would be if you had those three guys and you start misdirecting everywhere and, you know, like running that Jamel Holloway, Oklahoma, you know.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Oh, man. That would be incredible. It would be fun. Matter of fact, I've just spent like 3 minutes here talking about it, and I'm all excited.
There you go.
I can't wait to see something. But this guy.
Well, you know Coach Peyton listens to our show. So
No.
I'm sure he's picking up these things.
He sends me texts all the time asking me what I think about things. You know, sometimes I feel like it's not my job. You don't pay me to do that, but thanks for letting me know, Coach. BS and Beer Podcast 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Hold the door, please come in and just sit here for a while.
Oh, girl, give me your time to Davey, Heat, and Thomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun.
I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.